What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kostos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Kenny. Nick Kostos, our unbelievable crew, and whoever the hell you are. I love all of you. Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up about 20 minutes from now, a very newsy Tuesday night in the NBA, and we will get to some of the biggest stories, including Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder, as the kids would say, getting their lick back against Victor Wembanyama and the San... I'm so old. I'm 42 years old, and I feel like I'm 80. Beating the San Antonio Spurs last night for the first time in four tries this season. So we'll talk about OKC. And we're going to play the sound for you of what Giannis did last night to the crowd in Milwaukee, to the home crowd. And if you haven't heard it, if you haven't seen it, I think you are going to be very, very surprised. Adam Lefko from Turner Sports will join us later this hour. Maybe, you know, Ernie Johnson's still around, still doing it. I think Lefko is maybe the best studio host in all of sports TV right now. Lefko will join us later this hour. Very much look forward to that. All my bets for tonight will wrap up the show here in the final hour, here in the power hour. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, let me know your favorite bets for the night. YouTube.com/@thekostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. You can call as well at 310-840-4910. Just to reiterate the big story of the day, Mike Tomlin stepping down yesterday as Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. I think this is a win for Tomlin and a win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomlin gets to go, and by all accounts, he's going to do TV next year, I have heard, through the grapevine. I won't insult the memory of the late, great Marvin Gaye by singing that song. But I have heard that he will go to Fox and replace Jimmy Johnson, basically, on the set of the NFL pregame show. We will see if that's true or not. I'm not reporting it, just that I think that that's what may happen, that Mike Tomlin may go to Fox, which means he gets a year off and gets to make a lot of money and gets to entertain all of us. So he wins and we win. And if he decides in a year or two he wants to go back to coaching, he'll get to pick his team, and likely will be a team with a young, established quarterback. He's a big winner. We as fans are big winners. And the Steelers are big winners. Because now, they get to reset. Hit the reset button on their franchise. And I hope that they will no longer be in the fruitless pursuit and mired in the vicious cycle of 9-8 and the vicious cycle of 10-7. It's time to accept reality. That 4-13 might be good for this franchise, while acknowledging that should never be the goal, just knowing that 4-13 in 2026 would serve this franchise better than 9-8. Got to get more young talent on this roster. An old, aging roster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yeah, they've got to get the quarterback position correct. There's absolutely no question about it. That's the most important thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, even more important than the next head coach. But there's one thing yet that we have not discussed as it concerns Pittsburgh. And that is TJ Watt. Now, you may hear me say this, watch me say it on YouTube, and this may sound like sacrilege to you. Football sacrilege. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers need to trade TJ Watt. Now, before you jump down my throat, well, now you're saying the Eagles should trade, you want everyone to trade everybody. That's not true. The A.J. Brown thing is way different than the T.J. Watt thing. I think we need to ask and answer some questions about the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And I would encourage you, the listener and viewer, like, I have an opinion here, but you can disagree with me. I think you're wrong, but you can disagree. Do you think, legitimately, that there is an outcome that exists where the 2026 Pittsburgh Steelers can win a championship? Be honest. Does that outcome exist? I think the answer to that question is no. And probably not in 27 either, if you're going to do this the right way. Like, not half-assed do it. Like, try and go 9-8. Like, no. You're trying to go 14-3, 13-4, 12-5, 15-2, win a Super Bowl championship. T.J. Watt's going to be 32 next year. Does his timeline, as he continues to age, I don't mean this as an insult. Like, T.J. Watt's a Hall of Fame player, a legendary player. I don't know that his timeline matches up with the Steelers' timeline to legitimately contend. They could talk themselves into it. I just don't think it's possible. So if you could get a bunch of draft capital for T.J. Watt, why wouldn't you do that? And really, again, do this the right way. Tear it down to the studs. Rebuild this son of a bitch back up. Why wouldn't you do that? Life is chess, not checkers. In chess, sometimes you purposefully take a step back so you can take three steps forward, a couple moves down the board. I know Steelers fans don't want to hear it. I understand. And you may hear me say that and think I'm crazy. But ask yourself that question again. Will the Steelers be able to actually win, not go 9-8, not go 10-7, actually contend for a Super Bowl championship in the next couple years? I think that answer is no. And if that answer is no, I think they need to seriously look into trading T.J. Watt and get as much draft compensation possible moving forward. The one loser in the Mike Tomlin news is Aaron Rodgers. Mike Tomlin had come back. You could have made a case Aaron Rodgers is the week one starting quarterback next year. Now, there's no case. Who's coming in and bringing Aaron Rodgers back next year? He's going to be 43 next year. And I'm not an anti-Aaron Rodgers guy. I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's entertaining. I think he can still play to a degree. But at this point, at his age, with the baggage that he brings, with how Monday night went, zero chance for the Steelers in that game against the Texans defense, I think it's more than likely his career's over. And if and when that happens and he retires, it'll be a really interesting conversation. So people are all over the place on Aaron Rodgers. But one thing you cannot question, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league, and it will be the closure of an era of NFL football if and when Aaron Rodgers retires. And we'll talk about that if it happens here this offseason. You better, you bet. And Westwood One Sports. We do have a tie-in to the Aaron Rodgers, to that, to what I just said about Aaron Rodgers, because Rodgers, earlier in the week, on Monday night, after the Steelers lost, kind of gave a shout-out to his former head coach in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, basically saying that this is not how the NFL used to operate. Coaches like LaFleur didn't used to be on the hot seat. So Rodgers stumped for Matt LaFleur, and Matt LaFleur came out and was like, I'm so enamored with the fact that this happened. Like, I'm so thankful to Aaron Rodgers he didn't have to say that. Now, Rodgers, said what he said about LaFleur because of the years they spent together winning in Green Bay. The Packers have kept winning with Jordan Love, but a lot of people think that Matt LaFleur's time has come in Green Bay with the Packers. We told you on Monday that LaFleur and the Packers and their team president, Ed Policy, were going to work towards a long-term extension. Take a listen to what ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter had to say on ESPN Milwaukee this morning about Matt LaFleur moving forward.
The way I would interpret it right now is it's up in the air. And I believe firmly that most places would have a high level of interest in Matt LaFleur. I don't know whether they wouldn't hold him up and say, okay, Team X, you want him, give us a third round pick or a second round pick.
So that's interesting, right? That all of this LaFleur consternation playing out publicly, the negotiation playing out publicly, he still has 1 year left on his deal. So you've got three options. Fired, extended, or traded, and then the team that trades for Matt LaFleur extends him. If I had to guess right now, and I want to be honest about this, I've been wrong about the LaFleur situation for a while now. And Bill Zimmerman said he's right. He could be a lame duck. I think that's the least likely outcome. I've been wrong on the LaFleur stuff for like a week now. I thought he'd be gone already. I've gotten a lot of stuff right. I've been wrong on this. My guess is, I don't know how it will happen. My guess is right now that he's not the Packers coach next year. But again, my instincts on this story have been wrong for about a week now on Matt LaFleur. So I can definitely be wrong about this. Now let's just say that I'm right. You better bet on this Wednesday. Nick Costos here with you on Westwood One Sports. Let's say I'm right and Matt LaFleur is fired. And if he gets traded, then like the team that trades for him will obviously have its next coach, right? Miami, Tennessee, Atlanta, whomever it may be, another team, who knows? There will be up to, if Matt LaFleur is gone in Green Bay. And but I'll just say this, I don't think Sean McDermott's out of the woods in Buffalo, despite the win this past weekend against the Jacksonville Jaguars. There will be at least 9 and an upwards of 11 potential vacancies this NFL offseason. Now, John Harbaugh is a no... John Harbaugh's getting a job. Like, we know that, right? Is he the only guy that we know is getting a job? Like, 100% is getting a job. I think Kevin Stefanski's going to get a job. Like, I think Jesse Minter's going to get a job, but we don't... We kind of don't know that. Like, Harbaugh seems like the only one that's definitely going to get a job. And we can obviously name names that we think will get jobs. Out of everybody, and if Tomlin wants to coach and the Steelers work out some compensation, it feels like that's not going to happen, but Tomlin would get a job also. There's one name that is in the bucket or under the umbrella. I kind of hate both of those turns of phrases, and I use both of them in a row. Whatever. There's one name that's in the group of coaches that maybe will get a job, that I think it will be, to quote Ric Flair after losing the WWF title to Macho Man Randy Savage. We just need this soundbite, Kenny and Bill. We got to get this soundbite of Ric Flair saying, this has been a miscarriage of justice. Where will be a miscarriage of justice if this guy doesn't get a head coaching job? That guy... Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores. Now, Brian Flores does have like a lawsuit right now against teams and against the league for like the way things went down a few years ago with the Giants. And we don't have to get into the particulars of that. Here's what I know. Brian Flores is one of, if not the, best defensive minds in all of football. The Minnesota Vikings this year went 9-8 with a quarterback trio of J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and Max Brosmer. A winning record with those three quarterbacks, which would be like if like you were running like an election campaign and Charlie Sheen were your candidate and you won. How? Because he's an absolute stud and a monster defensive coordinator. And people will want to say, well, you know, he didn't play nice in the sandbox with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Who cares? Grow up. Tua Tagovailoa didn't like it, right? When, you know, Brian Flores was hard on him, right? How'd that turn out, right? Like, please, we are such like a wimpy society. We're such a bunch of like mealy-mouthed participation trophy losers. That like we can't handle when someone wants to coach tough and talk tough and be a little mean if it comes down to it. Grow up. It's professional sports. Grow up. This is how life is. You don't get a participation trophy. You don't get to just go and like be bad at your job or be average at your job and get patted on the ass and told you're doing well. Get over it. Now, does Flores need to do a little better in that regard? I'm not saying you could just like be mean to your players. That's not what I'm saying. And by a lot of accounts, he was not good with his offensive coaches. And I'm sure a lot of that's true. I understand. If Brian Flores can fix any of that, how is he not like the best candidate for a lot of jobs, including, and this is the one where I'm just like, how do you not make this hire? If you're Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta, and the Baltimore Ravens, and you want a coach to come into Baltimore and kick ass and take names and get Lamar Jackson up to speed, how is Brian Flores not your guy? The Minnesota Vikings offense this year had to basically rig it at the end of the year to get Justin Jefferson. You know, the best receiver in the league. Over 1,000 yards. That's how bad it was on offense. And they went 9-8 because of him. Because of Flores. And I like Kevin O'Connell, but like, you think it was Kevin O'Connell's offense that got them over the hump? Or was Brian Flores' defense? Who basically ended the Lions season on Christmas with that performance. He should be a head coach again. And if he's not, I may file a lawsuit. I'll do it so he doesn't have to. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, someone who wants to bet, I'll tell you what, they named Flores the coach, I'm betting them to win the Super Bowl, I'm betting them to win the AFC, I'm betting them to win the AFC North, I'm betting them over the win total. And I was anti-Baltimore in past seasons with John Harbaugh. You hire Flores, I'm way in on the Baltimore Ravens. You want to fix that defense? You want to get Lamar, like, stop coddling Lamar Jackson? Great. He's your guy. If he is not hired this offseason and doesn't get a job, it will be a miscarriage of justice. Coming up next here on this Wednesday, you better you bet on Westwood One Sports. We will play the Giannis Antetokounmpo sound from last night that you will have to hear to believe, and why I think Giannis' time in Milwaukee is numbered. You better you bet. Westwood One Sports with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Our friend Adam Lefko from Turner Sports will join us about 10 minutes from now. Lefko, one of the best in the business. Very much looking forward to Adam Lefko joining us on You Better You Bet. All my bets for tonight will wrap up the show about 20 minutes from now, maybe 30 minutes from now. A couple bets in the NBA and college basketball, and we'll tell you about the BetMGM NBA No Sweat Token as well. Why, if you're going to bet on the NBA, you need to do it with our friends over at BetMGM. All right, have a couple of YouTube comments I want to get to. YouTube.com/@TheCostos. Our friend Void Null with a couple chime-ins. Eagles offense lost the plot. Saquon playing like Giants Saquon. Yeah, had 450 carries last year. A.J. Brown, only notable for the drama. I agree. Mark says Kevin Petullo, the main problem in Philadelphia, but you don't give away wide receiver once. I kind of disagree with that. You won a Super Bowl with A.J. Brown. Things were great with A.J. Brown. But if he's going to complain, and he's going to be dramatic, and he's going to read self-help books, and he's going to have cryptic Instagram posts like a guy or a girl, and I say guy because I've done it and I've known other guys that have done it, who get into a breakup or some kind of relationship drama, and all of a sudden you're posting the lyrics from Gautier's classic, Somebody I Used to Know. You didn't have to cut me off. Man, this is a good song, man. It's a really good song. Andy says, can't picture Mike Tomlin in anything but a Steelers hoodie. Well, you'll get to watch him in a suit next year on Fox. He'll be awesome, in my estimation. And Void Null with another comment here. I disagree with this one. Brian Flores is a bum. I don't care about conflicting personalities. If you can't win with Prime Tua, there's something wrong. Prime Tua? Prime Tua. Prime Tua was like, what year is this, 2026? It was like 8 years ago against Ole Miss. Not like 4 years ago against the Buffalo Bills. No. Think about the primes you'd rather have than Prime Tua. Amazon Prime. Prime Rib. Optimus Prime. Deion Sanders. Metroid Prime. I don't even like the Metroid games. There's my hot video game take. I don't like Metroid. Like, everyone likes Metroid. I don't like Metroid. I also think Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is an overrated game, and I prefer Link to the Past and Breath of the Wild. Is it, yo, these are things you say them in the wrong circles? Like, you get a finger chopped off for saying things like this. It's my opinion. I don't want to spend 9 hours in the water temple in Ocarina of Time. I don't want to spend 15 hours, you know, using the grappling hook in some, like, small room in Metroid. I'm good. Prime Tua. I mean, what the hell are we talking about? Stop it with Prime Tua. Brian Flores needs to be a head coach next season. And the Baltimore Ravens, I think, need to be the team that makes it happen. Let's talk some NBA from last night. Pretty newsy Tuesday night in the NBA. First off, yeah, the Oklahoma City Thunder absolutely laying it on the San Antonio Spurs. And just in case, you know, we have newer listeners and viewers of the show, you know I love talking NBA regular season, December, November, into the postseason, obviously, all year round. You know this already, but just in case people don't, you're not paying attention to the NBA until football ends, totally okay. That's what I'm here for. I'm grinding it so you don't have to on the NBA. So the San Antonio Spurs beat the Oklahoma City Thunder three times in the span of like 14 days at the end of the calendar year 2025. And kind of, you know, took the air of invincibility away from Oklahoma City. Last night, Victor Wembanyama, like a minute into the game, dunks on Chet Holmgren. And you're thinking, whoa, are they about to beat the Thunder again? And then the Thunder seem to have this moment where they realize again, hey, like, we're the Oklahoma City Thunder, like, we're actually the best team. And they lay waste to the Spurs and beat San Antonio 119-98. If and when we get there, and we get a seven-game series with the Thunder and the Spurs coming up in the NBA Western Conference playoffs, I think it'll be awesome. I think it'll be filled with drama. And SGA is trash-talking De'Aaron Fox. We never see SGA trash-talk. Never. In the playoffs, he's getting heckled by the crowd in Denver. He's smiling at them. You never get SGA jawing with the opposition. He's jawing with De'Aaron Fox. I think it will be a great series, and I think the Thunder will win. Like, this felt like the Thunder last night realizing, hey, like, we are who we are. We're the best team. They've now won four straight games. And J-Dub, Jalen Williams, you know, not J-A-Y, J-A-L, Jalen Williams, is starting to round into form, and if and when that happens, this team is going to be scary. So good job by the Thunder last night. And before we take a break and bring Lefko on, Kenny, play the Giannis sound from yesterday as the Bucks get blown out at home by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Count the bucket. A tough two to get. Giannis with a message to the Five Star fans who are displeased with this team's efforts in the first half.
So I'm going to set the stage for you. The Bucks are getting blown out at home by the Minnesota Timberwolves without Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert. And the Wolves are one of the best teams in the league, and since Thanksgiving, you can make a case they're the best team in the NBA. But no Edwards, no Gobert. They are blowing out the Bucks at halftime. They boo Giannis and the Bucks into the halftime locker room. Giannis comes out, gets that N1. They're still down by like 30, and Giannis does like the Joaquin Phoenix from Gladiator, double thumbs down, and boos the crowd who's booing him. We're 3 weeks away from the 2025-26 NBA trade deadline. I don't know if the Bucks will move Giannis before the deadline. They should. One thing is becoming abundantly clear. Giannis, who loves Milwaukee and loves being a Buck, and that is not the setup to a joke, he sincerely loves it. He's losing it. His team's losing. They're booing, and he's had it. And he's handled this entire situation with class the entire time. But everybody's got a breaking point. And it feels like he's reached it. And one way or another, whether it's 3 weeks from now, Thursday, February 5th, and the trade deadline, or this summer, Giannis Antetokounmpo's career as a Milwaukee Buck, it's not if it's drawing to a close. It's when it draws to a close. and it could happen before we get Super Bowl 60 on Sunday, February the 8th. On the other side, one of my absolute favorites, one of the best guys in the industry and one of the biggest talents in the industry, Adam Lefko of Turner Sports will join us to talk his Eagles, a little NFL playoffs, NBA, college hoops, here on You Better You Bet on a Wednesday.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
All right, all my bets for tonight are coming up to wrap up the show. And if you, dear listener, and you, dear viewer, are betting on the NBA this season, here's something that'll take the pressure off your picks. With the NBA No Sweat Token, you don't need to sweat if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app, and please gamble responsibly. One of my absolute favorite people in the broadcasting space, and I've told this story before. I want to tell it again just because we have a new audience here, and he's heard me say it like through. I apologize. Adam Lefko is going to join us. He's here with us now. Turner Sports studio host, Saturday on TNT. The college basketball slate will be great. Host of the Big Podcast with Shaquille O'Neal. We'll get into that as well. Early in my broadcasting career, I get a fill-in opportunity at Bleacher Report Radio, and Lefko worked at Bleacher Report at the time, and he had me on as a guest, and I was like down in the dumps, man. My dad had just died. This is real life stuff. My dad had just died, broke up with the girl that I was seeing, wasn't getting opportunities, and you're a couple years younger than me, and you said stuff that was so nice to me in that interview. You actually gave me like optimism like to move forward. So I've told that story before. I'm sorry that you've had to hear it like five or six times at this point.
No, it's
just
nice.
That like when I think of you, that always comes to mind, just so people know, because you watch Lefko on TV and you're like, man, he comes across like a really nice guy. Like, he is. I can confirm that. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy. How are you?
To all your viewers that love this version of you, you have to understand, like, this was that at Sirius? Is that where that was?
Yes.
So, like, it was like a dark hallway, and it's like all these studios, there's like no one really in them. And then, like, I open this door, and here's Nick with this voice that's like cutting through everything. And he's just like going at the microphone. I'm like, man, this guy's got energy. And he's like, I don't know, man. And I was like, what? I was like, I just came down this dark cavern and here you are under a spotlight just going. To me, it was obvious. I'm so happy for all your success. And of course, I'm coming on You Better You Bet. Even though I have taken a break from betting, I have to admit this on your show. I know that everyone loves gambling and gambling's great. I've taken about 2 months off, Nick, and my brain is realigned because I hit the biggest bet of my life is what happened, to be honest.
I feel like I get fired if I don't ask you the follow-up here. What was that bet that you won?
So since we're talking college basketball, in March of 2025, I decided to do, you know, I see all these bets online where people predict champions and stuff of multiple sports. And man, what a rush to get to live something for 9 months.
You didn't have so Duke. Can I just start by saying this? You didn't have Duke. I feel like everybody had Duke in the NCAA tournament last year.
No, I took Florida.
Oh my God. So you're the one that had Florida. Yeah. Everybody else had Duke and lost on Duke, including me.
I did it on the tarmac at LaGuardia flying down to Atlanta for a week. And I was like, if I don't bet on right now, I'm not going to be able to get a bet in. And the SEC tournament, they looked so good. And I was like, what you said, everyone's going to go Duke. Everyone's going to go Auburn. They were third. So I took them. And then I just had watched the Celtics play the Thunder. And this was before the injuries and the Thunder looked really good. So I picked the Thunder. And then for the World Series, I picked the Phillies. And then I sat there and I went, the Phillies are going to let me down. Like, who would be the most disappointing team to lose to? And I picked the Dodgers. And so that game seven, I was up with a blanket wrapped around my head. I'm in the streets of New York just pacing after I won. It was like 51-1. And I hit that. And then the next week I put in like a 3-touchdown parlay for $50 and it hit for like 1500 and I felt nothing. And I was like, I got to take a break. I was like, I have tasted such a high that like, I need to get away from this for a little bit. Cause that I went, oh, okay, not good.
And the best part about that is, right, that parlay that you hit, and shout out to Orion Kirkring. I had the Dodgers also. We needed that, like, to cash that bet, unfortunately, for all the Phillies fans. Florida obviously wins the Natty, but and they beat Auburn pretty handily. Not super handily, but they won that game on Saturday in the Final Four. Could have lost to Houston. So you had that unbelievable sweat in the national championship game.
Double digits in the second half. Crazy three at the end of the game. I thought it was gone. Tyrese Halliburton starts off game seven of the Thunder. And I'm like, oh no, I'm against destiny. But yeah, like ninth inning, one out. Rojas like dives at a pitch and hits a home run when everyone's like Shohei is going to come up. I mean, and to make it worse, like as a Philly guy, to listen to five innings of them being like, and Bulbashit is this year's version of Joe Carter. Let's relive 1993. And I'm like having flashbacks as like a seven-year-old crying like to my babysitter because Joe Carter hit a home run off Mitch Williams. And I was like, this is just an awful way for it all to go down. And yeah, happened. And then what a moment. Will Smith from West Philadelphia, born and raised, goes out to L.A. for the Dodgers and hits the home run. Loved it. It was great. And he's not Philadelphia. It was just Fresh Prince.
Yeah, and I'll just say, just keep your wife's name out your mouth. Please just
exactly.
You know, you don't want to get slapped. But hey,
indeed.
At least things turned around for Philadelphia sports fans this past weekend with your Eagles. Now, look, I say that partially as a New Yorker rubbing it in. Also, the Eagles were my big bet to win the Super Bowl this year, so that was not a great result for yours truly. So they fired Petullo yesterday. Obviously, that has to happen. I think I'm right on this. I think a lot of people disagree with me. I'm fascinated. You're a big Philly sports fan to get your thought on this. I think like they may have to eat some money to make it happen. And it's crazy to say eat money to get rid of one of the best receivers in the league. I think they got to trade AJ Brown. Where do you come down on that as an Eagles fan?
Watching the game, you can't be the storyline all season long and then drop passes in clutch situations. Like you either get to be like, I need the ball more, and then you make plays, or you just kind of grit it out and you can drop a pass. Like you're allowed that. I think the big question is, what is the truth of the story in the locker room? I think it's very telling that they say they may keep Petullo on in some form or fashion, which means they do not believe all of the blame goes on Petullo, which is what many Eagles fans believe. I have heard a rumor and a thought that maybe AJ Brown was saying things that the rest of the locker room couldn't say about the quarterback. And that is in essence the question. I'm seeing a lot of pundits and analysts right now from major networks talking about how Jalen Hurts is the problem. If Jalen Hurts is actually the problem, then I don't know how you mitigate that situation. I don't know if it's offensive minds. I don't know if it's different personnel. I'm not sure how that works. I will say this, and I think AJ Brown has been one of the best Eagles wide receivers in franchise history, and he's an incredible wide receiver. I do think, and I think he's taken a step back in terms of his speed this year. I thought there was a number of times this year where he didn't separate, where of course he would have that guy on his hip, but in years past, he's going the distance where now he's down for 20, down for 10. The Eagles' financial situation fascinates me because they've moved all of their payments into years in the future. And so usually that you cannot move on early from contracts. That's kind of the way, the give and take of it all. Nick, I think the biggest issue for the Eagles going forward is something that you guys haven't figured out still, which is a right tackle or an offensive lineman. The big loss for the Eagles was not having Lane Johnson in that game. Over the last few years, you could take any player off the roster, Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean. There are even times where they looked good without Jalen Hurts and Saquon. But if you lose Lane Johnson, it's a different team. They're like 500 without Lane Johnson. And I think it's coming to an end. And I think the scary thing, if you're an Eagles fan, is Landon Dickerson after that last game was saying that he's really hurt. The Jason Kelce replacement, Cam Jurgens, hasn't looked good. They won a Super Bowl because of that offensive line. And if that offensive line is falling apart, then there are structural and foundational issues that could be big time issues long term, in my opinion.
You Better You Bet on this Wednesday. Adam Lefko, Turner Sports, big show, podcast with Shaquille O'Neal as well, with us here on Twitter at Adam Lefko. Now, I know you're taking a little break from sports betting, and this is not me trying to be like, hey, like, jump back. I mean that sincerely. That's great that you're doing that. If I gave you $100 and I can give you the prices if you'd like to win the Super Bowl, and I said, who do you like if I give you $100? Seattle 3, Rams 320, Bills 550, Patriots 6, Denver 750, Texans 850, Bears 14, Niners 20. You are like the future's God, GAWD. There's $100.
That's not true.
Nah, yeah, well, listen, you did hit that parlay. Who would you bet and why?
Okay, so like there's the first part where you go, who do you think's going to win? And then there's a second part where you go, who's got some good value to it? Seahawks are 1, Rams are 2. My real gut instinct, the team, I think it might be the Rams here. I think that they have the D-line. I think they have the quarterback. I think they have the wide receivers. That offensive line did scare me, but I feel like they can go into Seattle and get that win. I do lean to like a team in the NFC having success. Read me those again. Seahawks were 1, Rams were 2 at 3:30.
Buffalo's the third choice, Patriots 4th, then Denver, Houston, Chicago, and San Francisco. San Francisco, the longest shot.
What's Denver?
Denver is plus 750.
Plus 750 for the number 1 seed in the AFC is a pretty damn good value for a phenomenal defense, for a quarterback that doesn't need to do too much, a really good offensive line, and a coach that's won it all. And that if you do get there, like the thing with the Broncos is they've come back from deficits. They did it against the Eagles. They did it against your Giants in dramatic fashion. Bo does have the ability to run and move. It is the year 2 and an offensive system, which is typically when quarterbacks take a jump and have made runs to the Super Bowl, i.e. I think Burrow did that. I think Hurts did that. I think Mahomes did that. That's a very interesting value. The fact that you get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And I mean, I don't know. Are you that much higher on the Patriots than you are the Broncos? Like if it was Patriots at Broncos, who are you taking?
I think I would take, if the Patriots defense plays like it did on Sunday night against the Chargers, I'd take New England. But I guess like we're not going to know until we see how they play on Sunday against the Houston Texans, right?
Yeah, totally. But like the Patriots' weakness is running the football, and like the Chargers don't have an offensive line. You know what I mean? So like they're not the best indicator for me, especially like, man, playing in Foxborough you got the other team's mind in a blender. I just think it's value, but I would lean towards the Rams right now to win it all. I'm curious where you stand on those.
I'm with the Rams also.
Okay.
I had your Eagles, but I was consistent. I think those are the best two teams in the league. I would have bet the Eagles if the Eagles had hosted the Rams. We're not going to get that opportunity. Obviously, Philly got bounced, so I will... Like, the Eagles were my number 1 choice. The Rams are my number 2, but I'll say the LA Rams also with you, Lefko.
It's so interesting with Seattle, where... I always experience this in the betting world, where I guess they have to make it that number, but I don't know. I just... Someone like you, me, like, I would never put money on that team in the playoffs.
You don't trust the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't trust the quarterback. I feel like the offense, I've seen it get stagnant at times. Like that defense in that environment can take over any game. They really can. The scary thing is that 2 of their division mates are still in the playoffs. And 2 of those division mates that have had success. Now, the Niners didn't have success the last time, but I thought Rams-Seahawks was the flukiest game of the season. And I left watching that game going, I think the Rams got screwed over by a rule I've never seen before. That backwards fumble that turned into a touchdown.
The 2-point conversion,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like that's always an incomplete pass. There were so many plays in that game that felt fluky to me, where I was like, the Rams were the better team the entire game. I would take the Rams.
I think a lot of people will agree with you if we get that matchup on Championship Sunday with the Rams and the Seahawks in Seattle. Last one for you here. We got about 2 minutes. So I mentioned the big podcast with Shaquille O'Neal, and I would encourage everyone to follow that podcast on Instagram, Lefko on Instagram. The posts from this show, like Lefko's great and Shaq's really funny and the guests are great. Like the clips are sensational. Just had Tom Brady on the show. Like I watched a lot of those clips. They were great. What is the coolest thing that you've done in your association with Shaq on that show or otherwise in about 2 minutes here to wrap?
So I didn't realize it was cool until a year later, but I knew it was cool because my wife thought it was cool. And this is going to sound weird on this show, but Kerry Washington came to, so we would do the shows in Shaq's like basement, but his basement is like a basketball court that was turned into a hookah lounge. And because it's at Shaq's house, it's called the Shahookah Lounge. And Kerry Washington was on the show. And my wife was like, I'm coming. Scandal was my favorite show of all time. So my wife flew down with me. We went to Shaq's house. His chef like made us like some breakfast, right? And then Shaq was early for the only time we've ever done the podcast, and he was wearing a freshly ironed pink polo shirt. And Kerry Washington came in, and she like hung out with my wife for like 5 minutes. And then we did the show, and I was like, I got to be honest, Kerry, I've never seen Scandal. And everyone in the room went, and I was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've never seen it. And I would say in the last 6 months, I've watched 5 seasons of Scandal, and I cannot believe that I interviewed Olivia Pope. Like, that is so crazy. So I didn't realize it till later, but I'll wrap it up like this. Same thing I experienced with Tom Brady. The coolest thing about interviewing people with Shaq is they show Shaq of them that I would never see and that we would never see. Because with Shaq, they're kind of like, what the hell am I doing here with Shaq? And when he asks them a question, you get that real guttural truth, not like that PR marketing truth, because they're hanging out with Shaq and that's really cool for them too.
You're the best. At Adam Lefko on Twitter. Check it. I don't disagree. Mutual Admiration Society. TNT coming up this Saturday. Yankers all of Turner Sports coverage. Like, we'll do this next. I just like. I
want to do this here before the Roland Garros, the French Open.
Hell yeah. Are you going to be in San Francisco?
For what?
Super Bowl.
Oh, for the Super Bowl? I'm going to be there Thursday, Friday.
We'll try and wrangle you, but please continue with what you were saying, that you'd like to come back on the show because we would love
to. Yeah, I want to come back here to do Roland Garros. If you saw the video of me fist pumping because Coco Gauff won, it's because I had a parlay of Coco Gauff and Yannick Sinner, and then Alcaraz absolutely changed everything. But no, I want to try and put in some winners.
You're the best, dude. And I'll say it, you know, I won't ask you to comment on this. You're on a trajectory, man, professionally, to go down as like the GOAT, maybe doing studio coverage. You're awesome. I love it. Wow. Appreciate you coming on the show. Hope
appreciate
to see you,
you.
In the Bay Area, my friend. Our friend Adam Lefko here on You Better You Bet. One of the nicest guys, one of the most talented guys since, and also apparently like the future's god of sports betting. I will attempt to give you some winners for tonight. Right now, Kenny, please drop the dope ass beat. All right. Limited time here for the bets, and maybe a good thing given I had the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night against the Houston Texans. One NBA bet that I'm eyeing for tonight is the Philadelphia 76ers against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Philly's a 1.5-point home favorite. I have to be honest, like, I don't trust the Cavs this year, and Embiid's gonna play. For me, I like Philly better than Cleveland one for one, so you're gonna give me, like, a short money line price. I'll lay the Philadelphia 76ers against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And one bet in college basketball, Purdue is a 10.5-point home favorite against Iowa. Now, Iowa's point guard, Bennett Sturts, if he can control games, then Iowa has a good chance to beat basically anybody. I don't see that happening against Braden Smith and Purdue. I will lay the 10.5 with Purdue against Iowa. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to our crew. I'll catch everybody tomorrow on a tremendous Football Thursday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Black and Abdallah coming up next here on Westwood One Sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.